Father, we thank you for this day. We've joined here at our weekly Sunday morning Bible study, and this is the Queen's Ministry Sunday morning Bible study, and we're so thankful that we have another opportunity to come together to share in the Word of God. We pray your presence in our setting, O Lord our God. We pray that you guide our hearts, you guide our thoughts, that you give us the Word to share with your people. We pray that that word may find a lodging place in our hearts. Oh God, we thank you again for this opportunity, for this setting, for providing a way for us to connect one with another and to study together. Now bless, we pray, our classroom setting, our virtual room setting, and Lord God, again, open our hearts and our minds that we may receive all that you have for us. Amen. Praise God. We thank God again for this opportunity to come together to be a part of the Queen's Ministry Bible Breakfast Fellowship on this day. And we're continuing in our series, our lesson series on So Stand Firm in the Lord. And we're using as our foundational text for this lesson Philippians 4. I want to read in your hearing for those that have joined with us. Philippians 4, I'm going to be reading in the King James Version. Verses 1 through 9, so that we all can get a background as to what we're going to be talking about today. We ask that you read along with us, and so that you can also see and get insight into our lesson. Starting at the first verse, and it reads, "Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia, and I implore Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." Amen. Again, that's Philippians 4, verses 1 through 9. As we discussed last week, this is a book in the Bible, in the New Testament section, written by the Apostle Paul. And the writer writes this particular letter, even though we call it a book, it is initially a letter written to the Philippian church. And he wrote this letter to encourage, to instruct, and even to rebuke some of the members. And he also took the time to share with them his love for them and his joy in knowing them, as well as his desire to see them again. But Paul has a word of encouragement to the church, and we lift for our hearing, our lesson today, those words of encouragement that Paul instructed the church at Philippi. He said, so stand firm in the Lord. He says, in this way. So he gave them the instructions on how to stand firm in the Lord. And we're going to continue in our study and find out what Paul was laying out for the Philippian church. For one thing, we want to remember that there was four or five themes that he said to them that we're going to pursue in our study. He says, be united, be joyful, be exemplary, be prayerful, and check your thinking. Last lesson, we talked on be united. And in that section, Paul was encouraging the church to work in harmony so that there would be no division, to be of same mind, so that the disagreements that do come up, and we know that they do, that we would help one another, encourage one another to get past these differences and get past these confrontations so that we can stay in relationship, come on here, with one another, cooperating. That was Paul's point to the Philippian church. Stay cooperating. Stay reasoning. Stay working it out. Don't get so upset that you don't want to work out the problem with your brother or your sister. So Paul was saying, let's encourage to restore relationship. Let's bring, and I like this from our lesson earlier in our church setting, let's bring shalom into the midst. That's right. Let's restore the relationship. Why? Because Paul saw all of us as fellow believers, fellow workers, co-laborers. And then he was also, again, this is my understanding of the text, he was bringing this point out that others are watching us. And the same holds true for us in this day and age. Others are watching how we behave. So Paul is saying, be united, be in unity, because we all are part of one body in Christ. Amen. There are many parts of the body, and we know that from the physical sense. But with each part has a working part that is connected to the other. Same for us all. We're all connected one to another because we are all part of the body of Christ. Amen. So we went through part one. And again, let me just stop and say this to those that may have not been able to fill in all of the blanks of your lesson. We encourage you to reach out to myself, Elder Hawkins, and to our Dean of Christian Education, Sister Constance Boyd, and they always can help you continue with your answers or give you the answers so that you can keep up and stay with us. Amen? So we thank so thankful for these ladies that are willing to help and be a part of our learning process. Amen. So now we move to section number two, part two, and we're going into be joyful. Paul again gave us steps. He said in this way, he said do it in this manner. And so Paul gave us some steps on how we should stand firm in the Lord. So we go now to verse 4. We already read it in your hearing. And so let's begin to identify some of the things Paul is saying when he says, be joyful. That's the section we're in now. Be joyful. In verse 4, Paul tells the readers to be joyful or to, get this, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice. Celebrate. Be happy about. Commemorate all his great works. Speak lovingly. Speak praiseworthy of him. Rejoice in knowing him. Rejoice in the Lord. And I will use as an analogy, especially for us that have grandkids, how we rejoice in them. We are appreciative or even the slightest little thing they do. And it may be nothing but them learning how to say their ABCs. But we rejoice in their being connected to us and being a part of us. And we are happy that they are in our circle of love. And so that's how Paul is saying to us. And in turn, he was talking to the Philippian church. Rejoice in the Lord. Be happy that you know him. Take a moment throughout your day to be thankful and grateful. And even speak to him and tell him that you appreciate all the great things that he does in our lives. Amen. Rejoice in the Lord. Paul said, going to question two, he is saying, take delight. That's it. Take delight. Also, take pleasure in him. Amen. Enjoy being connected to him. Amen. He's a great and mighty God. And he is worthy of our praise. And get this, beloved. This is something important for us to always be mindful of. That God wants to be in relationship with us. That's important. Because if you recall, and many of us may even still be struggling with this, but you recall sometimes in your life when you wanted to be in relationship with another individual, it didn't even have to be of the opposite sex. It could have just been somebody you wanted to be friends with, and they pushed you away. They refused to be a part of your connection. Well, I want to say to us today, that God wants to be in relationship with us. He's not going to push you away. The Word of God says, draw near to Him, and He will draw near to you. What's that saying? That if you seek Him, you will find Him. Hallelujah. So, question two there says, Paul is saying, take delight, take pleasure, enjoy being connected to Him. Let's move on. Paul got so excited about this. He got so excited. And he was so sure that he was telling them the right thing that he what? Said it again. He said it twice. That's right. He was so excited and so sure about this that he told them twice, rejoice in the Lord. He was emphasizing this thought that we take delight in God, our Father, our Heavenly Father. Amen, somebody. Let's move on, number four. So the Bible reminds us that there is joy. Yes, there is joy in knowing God. Can I get an amen, somebody? Wherever you are, Bishop has been encouraging us all day long. Go ahead and say amen. And I know I've been saying this to you over the last several weeks. Wherever you are, when you can agree with that word, go on and say amen. Or hallelujah, or even praise the Lord. So the Bible reminds us that there is joy in knowing God. There is joy in being in, here it is again, relationship. That's an important thing for us to know. That is not all about religion, but it's about relationship. So there is joy in being in relationship with Him, God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I'm going to move on. And so the next several line items on your lesson deal with us connecting supportive scripture texts. And so for those that may not have their lesson, I'm going to read out these verses that we're going to hit on today and share the thought in understanding our being joyful in the Lord with supporting scripture. So we're going to look at Psalms 13 and 5, Psalm 68 and 3, Psalms 37 and 1, John 15 and 11, and Jeremiah 15 and 16. Now we're going to repeat those, so if you didn't get them all, you can have time to catch up. But let's all go to Psalms now. We're going to take a moment and find Psalms 13 and 5. Yes, let's all move, shift to the Old Testament. Go to Psalms 13 and 5. Whatever device you have, go ahead and look up Psalms 13 and 5. And let me read it for you. It says, but I trust in your unfailing love. I will rejoice because you have rescued me. So we saw Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. And he was excited. He repeated it. And he's saying, take delight, take pleasure, be connected to Him. Know that you have relationship, because there's joy in knowing God. Here the psalmist is saying, I'm going to give you a reason why you should have joy in knowing God. So in Psalms 13 and 5, the psalmist says, I will rejoice because you have rescued me. Oh, praise God. That's a reason to rejoice in somebody when they save you, keep you from danger, and watch over you. Come on here. Amen. Glory to God. That's right. That is a great reason to rejoice in somebody when they rescue you. All righty. So the psalmist is reminding us, rejoice in the Lord because He has rescued us. Let's go to Psalms. They're right there in Psalms 68 and 3. Psalms 68 and 3. Okay, again, this is supporting Paul's thought to the Philippian church to be joyful. The psalmist says, I'm reading, but let the godly rejoice. Let them be glad in God's presence. Let them be filled with joy. So here the psalmist is saying, who should be the ones that should be joyful? Well, the psalmist tells us, is the godly or the righteous? Is the faithful? The believers, they should be joyful. Listen, if we can't have joy in our God, why are we serving Him? come on here. We want the world to come in and know God, but if we walk around looking like we ate sour lemons all the time and down and depressed, and I'm not knocking depression, I'm not knocking illnesses that sometimes causes us sometimes to be low, but I'm saying if all we have to share all the time is that things are hum and drum and not good, well, we need to reassess our relationship with God. Because if we're the godly, the psalmist is saying here, we should be able to rejoice. For one reason we just heard. Why? Because he has rescued us. And so if we're the godly, we should be the ones that should be glad in God's presence. Maybe that's why you can't have no joy, because you ain't in the presence of God. Alrighty. But when we get in the presence of God, we should be filled with joy and be able to rejoice. That's what the psalmist is saying to us right there. Let the godly rejoice. So who should be joyful? The godly or the righteous, the children of God. Amen. Praise God. And when we get in his presence, definitely that's going to stir up some joy. It certainly is. And that's what we need to continually do daily, is to seek the presence of God. Let's move on. Psalms 37. That's right. Stay right there in Psalms. Psalms 37 in the first verse. Psalms 37 and 1. I'll give you a few minutes to get there. Psalms 37 and 1. When you have it, come on and say amen. Praise God. Psalms 37 and 1. Let me read it in your hearing. And it says, do not fret because of evildoers, nor be envious of the workers of iniquity. So how can we have joy? We don't have to worry about the things that are going on around us or the people that may try to cause calamity or hardship in our lives. We can trust in the Lord. And with that trusting in the Lord, the psalmist is saying we can have joy because we're not going to worry. We're not going to fret. That's it. We want to put down there Psalms 31 and 7. Joy is the opposite of fretting. We don't want to fret. We want to have joy because we know God can rescue us, that God loves us, and that we are part of God's family. And we don't have to worry about the things that are going on because we trust in. That's it. Put that down on your paper. Trust in the Lord. Amen. And now I want you to add this to that Psalms 37 and 11. I want to add verse 11 to there. I want you to add verse 11 because I just want to read the B clause of that verse. Verse number 11 in Psalms 37, I want you to read. And it says, and the meek shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Wow. Here again is another reason you can have joy. One, you don't have to fret about the things that are going on around you. That's one reason here. And then this psalmist also writes in verse 11 that there will be abundance of peace. I want you to put that on your paper. The abundance of peace can bring you joy. The abundance of shalom. Ha, glory to God. The abundance of eirene, the Greek word for peace. Come on here. We all got a good lesson today in our worship experience. Yes, so that's another reason in 37:11, there is an abundance of peace that is offered being connected, there it is again, to God. So that's why we can be joyful. Again, we're supporting the thought that Paul is saying to the church at Philippi. Let's go back now to the New Testament. We're going to go to John 15 and 11. Let's move on to John 15 and 11. Give you a few moments to jump over to the other side. John 15 and 11. What does John 15 and 11 says? Let me read it in your hearing. And it says, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. I'll repeat that. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. So what is the writer, John, saying to us? He is saying we can be joyful, get this, because we have the joy of Jesus. Go ahead and shout. I know you got it. Put those feet to the floor and pick them up, put them down, and give God the glory. Amen. We can be joyful because Jesus has given us his joy. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. And then he again, here's that word abundance. He wants it to not only be available, but it's going to be overflowing or full or abundantly. Remember, he said, I have come that you might have life, and that life more abundantly. And the same here for his joy, the joy that Jesus gives us. Glory to God. You know, we sing the song, this joy I have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. That's right, because the joy we have in order for us to be joyful comes from Jesus. Aren't you glad about that? Amen. Amen. And so the second part of that is he's saying, I want that joy that you have to be full, to overflow, to be abundant, so you can always tap into it. Amen? That's right. When things even look dark and dreary, and sometimes you just can't see your way out of it, you can still have joy. You can reach back and grab your joy. Why? Because the joy that you have, it ain't even yours. It came from the Lord. You can reach back and say, God, give me some more of that joy so I can make it through. I can survive my storm. Amen? Praise be to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a moment and thank God today for his joy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, God. Yes, Lord. Amen. We praise you today. Glory, glory, glory. All right, let's go back now. We're going to go back to the Old Testament, to the prophet Jeremiah. Yes, he's one of the major prophets and a very prolific writer in the Old Testament, and a great prophet who stood in the gap before the children of Israel, even at the cost of his life. But he was willing. And so we thank God today for Prophet Jeremiah. What does he have to say to us about joy? Let's go to Jeremiah 15 and 16. And it says, your words were found, and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. What are you saying, Jeremiah? Well, let me repeat that. He says, your words were found and I ate them. And your word was to me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. What is he saying? He says the word of God brings us joy. Jeremiah said, when I found your word, it was such a delight that I ate them. Did he mean physically? Perhaps. Who knows? But he definitely meant spiritually. He took in the word. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is he that trusts in him. Amen. Jeremiah said, when I found the word of God, glory, thank you, Jesus. It was so good that I ate it, and the words brought me joy. Matter of fact, it caused me to rejoice in my heart. Hallelujah. We say it, but sometimes we don't even realize it in our lives when we have low moments. But the word of God, when we get into the word of God and just read it, it can bring us the joy that we need to help sustain us through some difficult moments. Amen? To help us make it through some hard times, through some times where it may be difficult and very challenging. And so the word of God is important in the life of believers, and we need to partake of, we need to sit down and dine on, eat the word of God. Again, not in the physical, but in the spiritual. How do you eat? How do you digest the word? By reading, by meditating. We're going to talk about a little bit about that a little later in our lesson study. But by eating and studying and reading and meditating on the word of God. So we can be like Jeremiah. We could be like Jeremiah and said that when I found your word, when I saw your word, when it was revealed to me, when I got an understanding of your word, I took it into my heart and it caused me joy and it caused me to rejoice. In another verse in Jeremiah, he says it was that the words that I tried to keep quiet, because Jeremiah again was a prophet, and sometimes he stood in the gap, stood against the powers to be, told them the truth. Glory to God. And he said one time when he was discouraged and when he was down and he was tired of being beaten on, he says, I'm not going to speak a word anymore. I'm going to keep my mouth closed. He said, when I tried though, glory to God, when I tried to keep quiet, the words of God wouldn't sit still in me, and they were like fire shut up in my bones, and I had to release that word. Glory. Hallelujah. I had to let somebody know that God is God. Amen. So when we take in the word of God, it's going to make a difference in our lives. It's going to cause us to do some things. Amen. We can ignore it, yes. But if we truly want to be connected to the Lord and want to be a part of Him, then we got to digest His word and let it begin to transform us from the inside out. Amen. When I looked at my hands looked new. When I looked at my feet, they did too. Something on the inside begins to work on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life. What a joy it is in knowing the Lord. So like Paul is telling the Philippian church here in our lesson today in Philippians 4, be joyful. We too can be joyful. Why? Because God has rescued us. Why? Because we are part of His family. We don't have to fret. We don't have to worry. Why? Because He loves us with an everlasting love. Why? Because, glory to God, He's offering us His joy. Amen. He's offering us the peace that comes with being connected to Him. And not only is He giving it to us in average or a measure, but He's giving it to us abundantly. Hallelujah, with abundance. And like Jeremiah, we're going to eat the word so that we can have joy in our hearts. Oh, praise God. I hope you're getting something from our lesson today. I'm excited. And I'm sure you can hear it. I'm excited about the Lord on this morning, that I know Him and that I have an opportunity to share Him with you. I'm praying that we can take God's words as we gain it and go out and tell others that we can be what God wants us to be, and that is witnesses. Now, we may not be able to physically go out, but listen, you got circles of influence in your life. You have means of talking to others without physically being in their presence. Let us utilize those avenues, those venues, and share the word, share our lesson, invite them to come be a part of our Bible Breakfast Fellowship so they too can get, and then they too can go out. That's how it is. You touch one who touches one who touches one. Before you know it, we're touching many, many, many others and sharing God's word. Let us be about that today, saints. I'm even praying for myself that God will be able to open doors and give me insight and wisdom so I'll see those open doors and walk through them and be able to share the word with others. Who knows? Maybe this inspiration to tape our lessons is a way that we can push out to others so that they can hear the word. But I'm excited. I'm being joyful. I'm rejoicing in the Lord today. What about you? Here's our final verse, our final question for today, and we're going to stop right there so that we all can take it all in and enjoy, and I'll give you an opportunity to say hello today in our Bible Breakfast Fellowship. But question 10 says, think about it. And so when you come on today to say hello or to greet us, I want you to give us short, because again, we got many and we want everybody to get a chance to talk, but just give us a short insight as to what brings you joy in knowing God. It may be just knowing God. It may be because He did something great like healed your body. Whatever it is, I want you to share that when you say hello this morning. Number 10, think about it. What brings you joy in knowing God? I gave you a few in our lessons, but I want to hear from you today. What brings you joy? Father, we thank you for what took place today. We thank you for the word. We pray that that word may be sealed in our heart, that we would, as the writer of the text instructed us, be joyful in you, that we would rejoice in you and be excited and take delight and pleasure in you. Help us, Father, by your Spirit to be just that, people that love you and don't mind showing it. Now bless again this lesson, and may it be a blessing to all those that may receive it. In Jesus' wonderful name, let every heart say amen. God bless.